Chapter 94. I want to be set down. Apostrophe apostrophe said Dumps in a faint voice, overcome by his previous efforts. I think these cats want to be set down, apostrophe returned the attorney's clerk, chuckling at his sally. Hollow. Apostrophe apostrophe cried Dumps again. Hollow. Apostrophe apostrophe echoed the passengers. The omnibus passed St. Giles Church. Hold hard. Apostrophe apostrophe said the conductor. I'm blowed if we hadn't forgot the gentle Nasvas to be set down at Dory Lane. Now, sir, make haste, if you please, apostrophe he added, opening the door, and assisting Dumps out with as much coolness, as if it was all right. Apostrophe Dumps' indignation was for once getting the better of his cynical equanimity. Drury Lane. Apostrophe he gasped, with the voice of a boy in a cold bath for the first time. Dory Lane, sir? Yes, sir, third turning on the right-hand side, sir. Apostrophe, Dumps' passion was paramount. He clutched his umbrella, and was striding off with the firm determination of not paying the fare. The cad, by a remarkable coincidence, happened to entertain a directly contrary opinion, and heaven knows how far the altercation would have proceeded, if it had not been most ably and satisfactorily brought to a close by the driver. Hollow. Apostrophe apostrophe said that respectable person, standing upon the box, and leaning with one hand on the roof of the omnibus. Hollow, Tom. Tell the gentleman, if so be as he feels aggrieved, we will take him up to the Edgware Road for nothing, and set him down at Dory Lane when we comes back. He can't reject that, anyhow. Apostrophe, the argument was irresistible. Dumps paid the disputed sixpence, and in a quarter of an hour, was on the staircase of number 14 Great Russell Street. Everything indicated that preparations were making for the reception of a few friends in the evening. 2 dozen extra tumblers, and 4 ditto wine glasses looking anything but transparent, with little bits of straw in them on the slab in the passage, just arrived. There was a great smell of nutmeg, port wine, and almonds, on the staircase. The covers were taken off the stair carpet, and the figure of Venus on the first landing looked as if she were ashamed of the composition candle in her right hand, which contrasted beautifully with the lamp-black drapery of the goddess of love. The female servant, who looked very warm and bustling, ushered Dumps into a front drawing room, very prettily furnished, with a plentiful sprinkling of little baskets, paper table mats, china watchmen, pink and gold albums, and rainbow-bound little books on the different tables. Ah, uncle! Apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Kitterbell, how do you do? Allow me Jemima, my dear my uncle. I think you've seen Jemima before, sir? Apostrophe, have had the pleasure, apostrophe returned Big Dumps, his tone and look making it doubtful whether in his life he had ever experienced the sensation. I'm sure, apostrophe said Mrs. Kitterbell, with a languid smile and a slight cough. I'm sure him any friend of Charles's him much less a relation, is apostrophe, I knew you'd say so, my love, apostrophe said little Kitterbell, who, while he appeared to be gazing on the opposite houses, was looking at his wife with a most affectionate air. Bless you. Apostrophe apostrophe the last 2 words were accompanied with a simper, and a squeeze of the hand, which stirred up all Uncle Dump's bile. Jane, tell nurse to bring down baby, apostrophe said Mrs. Kitterbell, addressing the servant. Mrs. Kitterbell was a tall, thin young lady, with very light hair, and a particularly white face, one of those young women who almost invariably, though one hardly knows why, recall to one's mind the idea of a cold fillet of veal. Out went the servant, and in came the nurse, with a remarkably small parcel in her arms, packed up in a blue mantle trimmed with white fur. This was the baby. Now, uncle, apostrophe said Mr. Kitterbell, lifting up that part of the mantle which covered the infant's face, with an air of great triumph, who do you think he's like? Apostrophe apostrophe, he, yes, who? Apostrophe said Mrs. K. P. putting her arm through her husband's, and looking up into Dump's face with an expression of as much interest as she was capable of displaying. Good God, how small he is! Cried the amiable uncle, starting back with well-feigned surprise. Remarkably small indeed. Do you think so? Inquired poor little Kitterbell, rather alarmed. He's a monster to what he was, ain't he, nurse? He's a dear, said the nurse, squeezing the child, and evading the question, not because she scrupled to disguise the fact, but because she couldn't afford to throw away the chance of Dump's half-crown. Well, but who is he like? Inquired little Kitterbell. Dumps looked at the little pink heap before him, and only thought at the moment of the best mode of mortifying the youthful parents. I really don't know who he's like, he answered, very well knowing the reply expected of him. Don't you think he's like me? Inquired his nephew with a knowing air. Oh, decidedly not. Returned Dumps, with an emphasis not to be misunderstood. Decidedly not like you. Oh, certainly not. Like Jemima? Asked Kitterbell, faintly. Oh, dear no, not in the least. I'm no judge, of course, in such cases, but I really think he's more like one of those little carved representations that one sometimes sees blowing a trumpet on the tombstone. The nurse stooped down over the child, and with great difficulty, prevented an explosion of mirth. Pa and Ma looked almost as miserable as their amiable uncle. Well, said the disappointed little father, you'll be better able to tell what he's like by and by. You shall see him this evening with his mantle off. Thank you, said Dumps, feeling particularly grateful. Now, my love, said Kitterbell to his wife, it's time we were off. We're to meet the other godfather and the godmother at the church, Uncle, Mr. and Mrs. Wilson from over the way, uncommonly nice people. My love, are you well wrapped up? Yes, dear. Are you sure you won't have another shawl? Inquired the anxious husband. No, sweet, returned the charming mother, accepting Dump's proffered arm, and the little party entered the hackney coach that was to take them to the church, Dump's amusing Mrs. Kitterbell by expatiating largely on the danger of measles, thrush, teeth cutting, and other interesting diseases to which children are subject. The ceremony, which occupied about 5 minutes, passed off without anything particular occurring. The clergyman had to dine some distance from town, and had 2 churchings, 3 christenings, and a funeral to perform in something less than an hour. The godfathers and godmother, therefore, promised to renounce the devil and all his works, and all that sort of thing, as little Kitterbell said, in less than no time. And with the exception of Dumps nearly letting the child fall into the fawn when he handed it to the clergyman, the whole affair went off in the usual business-like and matter-of-course manner, and Dumps re-entered the bank gates at 2 o'clock with a heavy heart and the painful conviction that he was regularly booked for an evening party. Evening came, and so did Dump's pumps, black silk stockings, and white cravat, which he had ordered to be forwarded, her boy, from Pentonville. The depressed godfather dressed himself at a friend's counting house, from whence, with his spirits 50 degrees below proof, he sallied forth as the weather had cleared up, and the evening was tolerably fine, to walk to Great Russell Street. Slowly he paced up Cheapside, Newgate Street, down Snow Hill, and up Holborn ditto, looking as grim as the figurehead of a man of war, and finding out fresh causes of misery at every step. As he was crossing the corner of Hatton Garden, a man apparently intoxicated rushed against him, and would have knocked him down, had he not been providentially caught by a very genteel young man, who happened to be close to him at the time. The shock so disarranged Dump's nerves, as well as his dress, that he could hardly stand. The gentleman took his arm, and in the kindest manner walked with him as far as Furnival's Inn. Dumps, for about the first time in his life, felt grateful and polite, and he and the gentlemanly-looking young man parted with mutual expressions of goodwill. There are at least some well-disposed men in the world, ruminated the misanthropical Dumps, as he proceeded towards his destination. Rat-tat-tar-ar-ar-ar-ar-rat knocked a hackney coachman at Kitterbell's door, in imitation of a gentleman servant, just as Dumps reached it, and out came an old lady in a large toque, and an old gentleman in a blue coat, and three female copies of the old lady in pink dresses, and shoes to match. It's a large party, sighed the unhappy godfather, wiping the perspiration from his forehead, and leaning against the area railings. It was some time before the miserable man could muster up courage to knock at the door, and when he did, the smart appearance of a neighboring greengrocer who had been hired to wait for 7 and 6 pence, and whose calves alone were worth double the money, the lamp in the passage, and the Venus on the landing, added to the hum of many voices, and the sound of a harp and two violins, painfully convinced him that his surmises were but too well founded. "How are you?" said little Kitterbell, in a greater bustle than ever, bolting out of the little back parlor with a corkscrew in his hand, and various particles of sawdust, looking like so many inverted commas, on his inexpressibles. "Good God!" said Dumps, turning into the aforesaid parlor to put his shoes on, which he had brought in his coat pocket, and still more appalled by the sight of 7 fresh-drawn corks, and a corresponding number of decanters. "How many people are there upstairs?" "Not above 35. We've had the carpet taken up in the back drawing room, and the piano and the card tables are in the front. Jemima thought we'd better have a regular sit-down supper in the front parlor, because of the speechifying, and all that. But, Lord! Uncle, what's the matter?" continued the excited little man, as Dump stood with one shoe on, rummaging his pockets with the most frightful distortion of visage. "What have you lost? Your pocketbook?" returned Dumps, diving first into one pocket, and then into the other, and speaking in a voice like Desdemona with a pillow over her mouth. "Your card case? Snuff box? The key of your lodgings?" continued Kitterbell, pouring question on question with the rapidity of lightning. "No, no!" ejaculated Dumps, still diving eagerly into his empty pockets. Not the mug you spoke of this morning?"
"Yes, the mug."
Replied Dumps, sinking into a chair. "How could you have done it?" inquired Kitterbell. "Are you sure you brought it out?"
"Yes. Yes. I see it all."
Said Dumps, starting up as the idea flashed across his mind. "Miserable dog that I am, I was born to suffer. I see it all. It was the gentlemanly-looking young man.
Mr. Dumps.
Shouted the greengrocer in a stentorian voice, as he ushered the somewhat recovered godfather into the drawing room half an hour after the above declaration. Mr. Dumps. Everybody looked at the door, and in came Dumps, feeling about as much out of place as a salmon might be supposed to be on a gravel walk. "Happy to see you again," said Mrs. Kitterbell, quite unconscious of the unfortunate man's confusion and misery. "You must allow me to introduce you to a few of our friends. My mama, Mr. Dumps, my papa and sisters." Dumps seized the hand of the mother as warmly as if she was his own parent, bowed to the young ladies, and against a gentleman behind him, and took no notice whatever of the father, who had been bowing incessantly for 3 minutes and a quarter. "Uncle," said little Kitterbell, after Dumps had been introduced to a select dozen or two, "you must let me lead you to the other end of the room, to introduce you to my friend Danton.
such a splendid fellow. I'm sure you'll like him this way, apostrophe Dumps followed as tractably as a tame bear. Mr. Danton was a young man of about 25, with a considerable stock of impudence, and a very small share of ideas. He was a great favorite, especially with young ladies of from 16 to 26 years of age, both inclusive. He could imitate the French horn to admiration, sang comic songs most inimitably, and had the most insinuating way of saying impertinent nothings to his doting female admirers. He had acquired, somehow or other, the reputation of being a great wit, and, accordingly, whenever he opened his mouth, everybody who knew him laughed very heartily. The introduction took place in due form. Mr. Danton bowed, and twirled a lady's handkerchief, which he held in his hand, in a most comic way. Everybody smiled. Very warm, apostrophe said Dumps, feeling it necessary to say something. Yes. It was warmer yesterday, apostrophe returned the brilliant Mr. Danton. A general laugh. I have great pleasure in congratulating you on your first appearance in the character of a father, sir, apostrophe he continued, addressing Dump's godfather, I mean. Apostrophe the young ladies were convulsed, and the gentlemen in ecstasies. A general hum of admiration interrupted the conversation, and announced the entrance of nurse with the baby. An universal rush of the young ladies immediately took place.
Girls are always so fond of babies in company.
Oh, you dear! Apostrophe said one. How sweet! Apostrophe cried another, in a low tone of the most enthusiastic admiration. Heavenly! Apostrophe added a third. Oh! What dear little arms! Apostrophe said a fourth, holding up an arm and fist about the size and shape of the leg of a fowl cleanly picked. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.